Now let's consider what has been one of the landmark financial crises of our time, namely the Asian financial crisis of 1997. You can think of the Asian financial crisis as being marked by a very rapid reversal of private capital flows. So earlier in the 1990s, you have a group of countries, such as Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Hong Kong, and South Korea. They basically have rapid economic growth, a very rapid inflow of capital, and yet when the financial crisis comes in 1997, those capital flows are going to be reversed, and that will wrench these economies in a very dramatic, very volatile way. To see the size of that capital reversal, let's look at the current account balance for five Asian nations, South Korea, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines. And of course, that current account balance is simply the mirror image of capital flowing in and out of these countries. So 1994, the current account deficit is about $24 billion. So there's $24 billion of capital flowing in. That number is higher yet in 1995 and also in 1996. You can see the capital inflows heating up. But then, whoops, here comes 1997, the onset of the Asian financial crisis. The capital inflow is slowing down. It's falling to $26 billion. And again, that's mirrored in the current account balance. And then finally, by 1998, where the crisis has now been fully in operation, we see the current account deficit has gone away altogether. It is now a current account surplus, and that is reflecting capital leaving these Asian nations as part of that financial crisis. Part of this Asian financial crisis was the collapse of fixed exchange rates. A lot of these currencies had been trading at par with the US dollar and were pegged as such. But finally, the speculative flows against these currencies became so strong, the peg snapped, and in some cases you see the value of these currencies falling by at least 70%, which of course is quite dramatic. In these Asian economies, we also see a high degree of credit crunch and bankruptcies. Essentially, there were many corporations and also many banks which were significantly overextended, had often borrowed denominated in terms of foreign currencies, and when these currencies and also stock markets collapsed, they were basically hung out to dry, these companies, with too much debt and prospects of revenue which had been systematically overestimated. If we ask, what were the fundamental causes of this capital reversal? This is still a little mysterious, but I would say it was basically the ongoing revelation of unsound debts in many of these nations, and unsound policies and unsound currency pegs, and also a general series of contagion effects where investors realized that the problems of one Asian nation were in fact reflecting the problems of other Asian nations, and you have this sudden chain of a kind of information revelation where investors are realizing that they had been overestimating the prospects of these countries. The capital is then pulled away really quite rapidly, and there are economic implosions in some of these Asian nations. Ultimately, I think of this as a crisis about private sector debt and overexpansion with an especially rapid trigger. Sometimes you can cite higher interest rates for inducing foreign crises because capital then flows back into the United States, but I tend to think of that as not really the primary consideration here. One surprise is just how rapid and extreme some of these economic implosions were. So if we look at Thailand, we see a negative growth rate of more than negative 10%. You can think of the Asian financial crisis as basically starting in Thailand. So in February of 1997, there's a Thai property developer which gets into serious financial trouble, and perhaps that was the first trigger event. But the crisis really is taking off in the summer of 1997, when there is a collapse in the Thai currency, namely the baht, and that's setting off the trigger which is leading to these implosions in a lot of other Asian markets. Arguably, the crisis hit Indonesia the hardest, where for a while we were seeing a growth rate of more than negative 13%. The history of Indonesia here also reflects some of the more puzzling features of the crisis. So for instance, in Indonesia, the government budget was in surplus, not deficit. The country was seeing export growth of about 10%, which of course is extremely healthy, And yes, they did have a current account deficit of about 3.5% of GDP. Obviously, in retrospect, that seems too high, but it was relatively low for the group, and prior to the crisis arriving, it was not obvious to most outside observers that this was going to be a sign of major trouble. One very controversial angle of the history of Indonesia here is that the country then had to adopt an IMF adjustment plan where it was called upon to cut government spending and raise interest rates in order to bring the economy into adjustment. Joseph Stiglitz, among many others, argued that IMF policies were simply making the crisis worse and that this was not a good time for the Indonesian economy to be experiencing austerity. This, of course, was a precursor of more current debates about austerity in the Eurozone and other places. The Asian financial crisis came relatively late to South Korea, which for a while seemed like it would be protected from most of the crisis, and of course was then and still is wealthier than most of the other Asian economies. Nonetheless, toward the latter half of 1997, South Korea did experience a bankruptcy of many of the leading chaebols, and the country saw a kind of financial meltdown where capital flowing in from outside stopped. This is like the sudden stop we discuss in one of the other videos. And again, there's a kind of economic implosion where probably the key vulnerability was simply too much borrowing by leading conglomerate chaebol corporations, and that borrowing often being denominated in foreign currencies. I focused on a few of the leading locales for the Asian financial crisis, but it also significantly affected Hong Kong, Malaysia, Laos, the Philippines, and other locales, and you can use Google to read about these other stories. 1999 was the year when economic recovery for these countries started in earnest, and it's striking how much in the years that followed, the major countries affected actually had quite high rates of economic growth. So in this regard, the story of the Asian financial crisis has a relatively happy ending. For further reading, you could start with these pieces listed here, which are online, and of course, just Google the basic terms. The Wikipedia page on the financial crisis is helpful. Also worth looking at are other further readings listed here, and if you have the interest in buying and reading a book, there's a good one by Paul Bluestein called The Chastening. And furthermore, I would suggest you look at our other videos, including the one on sudden stops of capital.